2 Corinthians 4:8. Praise the living God. That is the word of God. Is so comforting, so powerful, so exceedingly great. Praise God. So, but today, I just want to look at verses 8 and verses 8, 9, and 10. And verse 17. So this morning I want to talk to us about the prize, P-R-I-Z-E, the prize of persistence, the eternal weight of glory. The prize of persistence, the eternal weight of glory. Persistence. It's one thing that we have in common with the world or even with other religions. You know, in the secular world, we have often heard it said that without persistence, we cannot accomplish anything worthwhile. The world says so, which is true. And many superstars, actresses, actors, athletes, and very high-ranking decision makers in companies always give account or sometimes give account of how they persisted to get where they are today. So too, we Christians must persist to stay on that straight gate and narrow way that leads to what? Eternal life. And please, forget the fact that many pastors and bishops and popes, like the Pope is now saying, there is no hell. Yes, it's all over the news. And many bishops have made Christianity seem like a walk in the park or cakewalk. They've made Christianity seem like it's easy, like, yeah, you know, just confess that Jesus is Lord and go about your business. You know, you're heaven bound. And you and I know that it is far, so far from the truth. Amen?
Amen.
So kind of like last week, we talked about Jonah and the people of Nineveh. I want us to turn there because I want to show you something that you should hold on to. I didn't want to bring it up last week because of what I was thinking the Lord would lead us to today. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. It says, are we there? Jonah 3:10. He said, and God did what? Saw their works. You know the story. That they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it now. So, that they turned. God saw their works. Thank God that the Bible also says that faith without works is what? Dead. So when we say thinking salvation, yes, it's by grace. It's not by our works. But the works that we have to, that works that we have to show that we have received salvation, which is practicing of righteousness, practicing of holiness by obeying the word of God. Otherwise, that salvation is null and void or non-existent or never been accomplished, never been attained, or never been received. So, for us, like this people of Nineveh, brethren, they turn, the Bible says, from their evil way. So now, do you think because the Lord now did not destroy the city, they have to now go back to their evil ways? No. That is where what comes in? Persistence comes in to maintain that repentance. That's where persistence comes in, for you to maintain the repentance or the repentant posture for the rest of your life. That's where persistence comes in. Because you must persist to stay on that straight gate and narrow way that leads to eternal life. Yes. Without which you will perish. You will die and go to hell. I'm talking the second death. So they must continue, we must continue, or like the people on Nineveh, they must continue persistently to resist every form of temptation, to resist every form of wickedness, and of course, back it up too with fasting like they did. And I'm sure they prayed because they spoke to the Lord or they confessed. And of course, persistently avoid or overcome those obstacles or hindrances that would cause us to fall away. So we need persistence in serving the Lord, which of course includes prayer. So I'm not going to talk about prayer today. You know, I'm talking about the works of your own effort. Coming to church is part of that works.
Amen.
Practicing. Coming to practice, set up, you know, the day before so that everything would go well, even though the slide didn't go well this morning and all that stuff. Those are part of the works that you must do to do what? Not to serve man, but to please God. Because every one of us knows about preparation, one way or the other. We have prepared for something before, something important. You've prepared for interview, job interview. You prepared to get married. Hello, you married folks. It took some of you 5 years to prepare. And then, of course, that day of the wedding, it took you probably 8 hours to come out of the shower, to come out of the bathroom. You know? So, we all know about preparation, which is part of the works in the kingdom of God. So anybody that says, oh, salvation is, you know, free. Yes, true. Salvation is by grace. Yes, true. But the receipt of salvation is works. You know, when you go to the store, you buy something, they give you a receipt. Evidence of purchase. So salvation has receipt too, which is works, character, hello, prayer, fasting, obedience, total obedience to the word of God, studying the word to show thyself approved. Those are all what? Works that needs to keep you on the straight gate and the narrow way. So if I was to define persistent, this is mine, I would say persistent is a continued effort mixed with faith to accomplish something despite opposition or difficulties, knowing that God can never fail nor be defeated. That's Pastor Leon. If you want it again, I'll give it to you. Persistence is a continued effort mixed with faith to accomplish something despite opposition or difficulties, knowing that God can never fail or be defeated. Did we get that?
Yep.
Oh, I need to run it again. one more time, so that the Lord will bless you. Persistence is a continued effort mixed with faith to accomplish something despite opposition or difficulties, knowing that God can never fail or be defeated. That is, for us, persistence. That's what I came up with. So we look at the scripture, it says that we are what? Troubled on every side. Have you never been troubled on every side? The front, the side, the back. If you're working, wahala at work, you come home, wahala at home. Yes. You come to church, wahala at church. Hello. You know? Everywhere is what? Wahala. Wahala everywhere. But the Bible says, yet we shouldn't be what? Distressed. Meaning, do not create any form of anxiety. We must always remain calm, cool, calm, and collected. No matter the trouble, no matter the storm, we must learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. When the disciples were fearful in the middle of the sea, when a storm or tempest arose, and Peter, everybody, water was, you know, getting inside the boat. And the Lord, where was he? On cruise control, fast asleep, on a pillow, out of this world, sleeping. You think he didn't hear the storm? He is the master storm. The Lord, 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 care not that we perish? O ye of little faith. Peace, be still. Everything ceased. And brethren, remember that water was getting inside the boat. And the Bible did not tell us Peter and them started scooping water out of the boat. No. Soon as the Lord says, peace, be still, the water in the boat dry. Hallelujah. The storm ceased and the water stanched. To use King James' word about the woman with the blood. He says, you know, soon as she touched the hem of the garment, the bleeding stanched. S-T-A-N-C-H. Stanched, meaning stopped. Cut off. Ceased. So why do we distress? It is a man to distress. But we must collect ourselves. Say, okay, Lord, into your hands, I commit my mind. Into your hands, I commit this moment. Because I know you know. Just like the slide this morning. I know God knows why he didn't want us to. Because he worked last night or yesterday. And we prayed last night. Concerning all the instruments. But the Lord took it away. I won't give the devil the credit. So, we must remain cool, calm, and collected whenever we are troubled on every side. He says, perplexed, but yet not in despair. Perplexed meaning entangled. Complicated. Things look complicated. Things look like, you know, there's no headway. But we know he's a way maker. Yes. And we know he makes a way where there is no way. He is the God of wilderness. He is the God of dead end. And then he will show up. So we need not to be despair. Meaning, hopeless. We can't be hopeless. We have hope in Christ Jesus. And then he says, persecuted. Why would we be persecuted? By our enemies. Enemies of the gospel. They won't want to hear what we have to say about our Lord Jesus Christ. Today in Muslim nation, no Christian better, you know, lift up their voice to sing or confess the resurrection of Jesus. That is persecution. And we know the subtle persecution in our land during Christmas, all this debate, people now saying, Happy Holidays, not Merry Christmas anymore. That's subtle persecution. To be politically correct. But the Lord never forsakes us. He is always with us. He says, persecuted, but never forsaken. I love this next one. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down, but not destroyed. I believe that has to do with our bodily affliction. That, you know, yes, people, we know of folks that have been delivered of AIDS. We know of folks that have been delivered of, healed of cancer without chemotherapy. Just prayer. Cast down. You're almost blind. You can see days. You can walk. One of my best friends was shot in Florida. In Miami. He was shot and then they took him to the hospital. The cops came, ambulance, you know, took him to the hospital. And, you know, he was still breathing. You know, when he got to the hospital, you know, he died. So he was on the respirator and all that stuff. So this, the nurse, like, okay, let me go to lunch, you know, before he comes and unplug him and take him to the morgue. Went to lunch and then came back. Oh, the monitor, everything showed green. He was back alive again. And he lay there for 34 days or 35 days, something like that, in coma. Then he said one morning, he woke up and they had CBN, you know, the CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. He woke up, you know, because they had left him. He unplugged his stuff and got up and used the restroom. When the nurse came, he was sitting on his bed. Yes, he's alive. I kid you not. Yes, he now serves the Lord.
Amen.
You know? And he did what he, you know, he got shot where he went to, you know, transact a deal that went bad. He got shot. But he still has a plate in his brain to stabilize him, you know, from walking. But he's sound, can think, can write, got married, got kids, man of God. So we know that you can be cast down, but not destroyed.
Amen.
Brethren, Satan cannot kill any one of us.
Amen.
That is my belief. He will torture us just like what he did to Job. But he would never be able to take your life. My friend, my pastor friend in Africa always consoles me with that. He said, brother, you should not. Yes, it's bodily affliction. It will go away. That too shall pass.
Amen.
And yes, if God wants, you could live without lungs.
Yes.
If God wants, yes, you could live without liver. We have women that have given birth where their wombs have been gutted out. Yes. True.
Yes.
We have women that are gave birth, you know, at 62, twins.
Mm-hmm.
Not artificial insemination, nothing. Husband 65 and she's 62. Pregnant, twins. So Satan can delay.
Mm-hmm.
He can touch her. He could cast down. But there's no way he would destroy you. He cannot. Our soul is too precious for him to be able to take us. But don't open the door. That's the thing. He must keep the door shut. The door is sin that lets him into our lives.
Yes.
You shut that door, you can do battle with him forever and ever. So I want us to take a look at some scriptures of men that the enemy fought one way or the other. As an example of being cast down, being distressed, and all that stuff, but they kept on taking. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm not going to read the whole thing so we can pray and eat. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings 2, we'll consider from verse 6. Praise the living God. I didn't read from verse 1, but since we've read this story before, I wanted to save us some time. Elisha was the servant of Elijah. And it was time for Elijah to depart, just like Moses' time that we have read, you know, of which is our reading today. He had to go to Mount Pisgah to die. And the Lord was leading Elijah, you know, about to take him from the earth. So he is the second man that didn't see death. The first one was Enoch. And he's the second man here that didn't die. God just took him because Moses died. We know that. Though we did not find his body. So it was time for Elijah to go. And this man, Elisha, his servant, has been with him all this while, serving him. And now, this is what happens to some of us. Failure at the point of victory or breakthrough. Or the spirit of almost death. He could have, as soon as Elijah said, man, the Lord wants me to go to, he started first in Bethel. The Lord wants me to go to Bethel. So, and it's time for me to go. I'll be leaving you soon. He could have just said, okay, boss, I'll see you when you get back. But did he say that? No. He said, as long as the Lord liveth, wherever you go, that's where I will be. Amen. Elijah tested him again. He said, I'm going to Jericho. And he said, as long as the Lord liveth, wherever you go, so shall I be. Elijah tested him again. He said, the Lord wants me to go to Jordan. And he said, as long as the Lord liveth, where you go. So what was that? Persistence. He did not give up. Brethren, I know this truncated way that the Bible seems, you know, not real-time story, or it seems like real-time short. We do not know how many days this took, you know, for this to happen. Because you're not going to tell me that, you know, from Jericho, you know, you just keep on going like that, and no sleep and no rest. You just keep on traveling, you know, just like, you know, a wayfarer. But this man persisted. While he was persisting, there were those trying to distract him, even mock him, who were called what? The sons of prophet. They would tell him, knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thee today? And he would say, yeah, but be quiet. It's my business. Because, brethren, there is nothing God, nothing that you want to achieve for God, if you want to truly serve God, that you will not find obstacle. In your own life, It could even be your marriage. It could be your finance. It could be your health. I've been broke before serving the Lord, and God using me praying for folks to get a job, to get jobs. And yet I had no money. But I didn't lack. It was just difficult. People provided for me. Serving God is not easy. But you must persist. And as we are still serving God, we must persist. We could have just done this prayer-a-thon and, you know, just throw up our arms in the air and say, yeah, hallelujah, we're done. Congratulations. But is that the end of it? By no means. Is that supposed to be the only prayer-a-thon that we would do? Is that supposed to be the only way we're going to task ourselves? Yes, in the past we just did, you know, every other day on the phone line. But this time we challenge ourselves. As the Lord will, one day he would tell, man, y'all have to come here. And when you are determined, he will make a way for you to be here.
Yes.
If he ordained it, and yes, and you want to be here, your heart is here, he will make a way. Because like I said, in Africa, that thing that we just did, it would have been done in the church. But we are enjoying the benefit of technology. But that is not to say we will not challenge ourselves someday, whenever the Lord calls for it. We must persist in everything that we do. If the world persists, football players persist, even when they get cut, they go back and practice and beef up. The next year, they try. And all of a sudden, they become superstars.